DW.
School strikes around the world are just one example of what Peter Karmus is calling a social tipping point for climate action. Peter is a climate scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, who, after studying the climate science, has successfully reduced his own carbon emissions to a fraction of what they were. Since then, he's written a book, Being the Change, which manages to balance his personal journey to a low-carbon diet whilst not shying away from delving into and explaining climate science. It's important to note that he's speaking to me on behalf of himself and not NASA.
So I am at Pasadena City Hall. My two sons are here. They're 10 and 12. I'm actually currently in my car, which is a Tesla, which is parked near City Hall.
Oh wow. Incredible.
And they're out there. Most people just ignore them, and say maybe a third of the people stop and smile and say hi and chat to them a little bit and encourage them. But maybe two-thirds of the people just completely ignore them and walk by.
Sure, yeah. So I got in touch with you following your Twitter thread about the changes that individuals, like we as individuals, can make now if we're concerned about climate change. And most of us know about trying to avoid flying or eating less meat or thinking about where our food's coming from and using cars less. But what other actions do you think we can take?
Right. Well, the reason I try to use less fossil fuel, actually, it's not to keep my own emissions out of the atmosphere. It's to try to shift the culture and try to convey a message of urgency. So this is an urgent crisis, and those of us who understand that should act like it's an urgent crisis. What we need is collective action. We need a lot of people to vote for climate action so that we can have change, systems change at the policy level. To do that, we need to convince our friends and colleagues and family members that this is indeed an urgent issue. Talking about it with those people is a critical action that we can take. Getting active politically, you know, either through protest or by going to city council meetings, getting active at the local level politically, maybe running for office, that's another critical thing we can do. And then, of course, as you said, all of the things we already know how to reduce our emissions by flying less, driving electric, biking more, eating less meat, becoming vegetarian or vegan. All of those things are fantastic things. But we want to do that in a very public way, not to feel less guilty, but to say, like, here's another way to live, and this is an urgent crisis, and it's important enough that I'm actually maybe not going to take that vacation on the airplane. It's important enough for me to make these changes.
One of the big discussions that's going on at the moment is about the idea of individual versus collective action. And I want to put this to bed now. Do individual actions actually make a difference?
Absolutely. I think it's very disempowering to think that we can't make a difference. And that's sort of the problem, is that there's too many people who think that we can't make a difference. But there's no sharp line between individual action and collective action. It's a blurry line. You know, once we don't have any more internal combustion engines, and once we have 100% renewable electricity, then of course it's going to be easy to avoid those emissions at the individual level. But on the other hand, we need individuals to push for systems change. And as more and more people start to change in their own lives, it's going to have an effect on all the people around them. And that's going to pave the way for collective action through shifting the culture.
You sort of mentioned this a little bit earlier, but you also mentioned in your book that being involved with the research actually takes a huge mental toll. And I mean, I can personally attest to this, researching this and reporting on it every day, that it's incredibly sad to know what's happening and how climate change is affecting people. How do you overcome that, or how did you overcome that?
It still affects me sometimes. I've got my good days and my bad days. But for me, the key thing to do is to act and to basically do all we can. And that transforms something that could lead you into despair or depression into something incredibly meaningful. I mean, this is the challenge, not just of our lifetimes, but of humanity right now, I think. And what could be more meaningful than trying to pioneer solutions, whether that means changing your own life or maybe starting a business or like I said before, running for office, or, you know, maybe shifting your career to work with climate. So if you're a lawyer, and you're doing a different kind of law, you could switch to thinking about environmental law. Or, you know, I was an astrophysicist before I switched into earth science. So there's a million things we can do. And for me, acting, that gives me hope. When I see other people acting, that's what gives me hope. I think we're in the middle of a huge social shift, possibly a tipping point on social action on climate change. And again, that's all coming from individuals stepping up and getting concerned and saying, this matters. It's very different than it was, you know, even just a couple of years ago, where I don't think the social environment was ready for the school strikes, you know, which I've been thinking about for a long time, or for, you know, in America, we've got the Sunrise Movement, and then there's the International Extinction Rebellion movement. There's a major shift, and things could change very rapidly from here, I think. And the thing that's driving this increasing awareness is that climate change is getting worse and the disasters are getting worse. And these stories won't go away. You can't fool physics. So as long as we keep emitting more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, these kinds of climate crises and disasters will get worse. And I think that we're going to see very shortly that most politicians are not going to be able to avoid the issue any longer.
One of the things that I often speak to a lot about people, they're concerned and they want to be doing something, but they feel like making any kind of changes is far too radical. How different has your life been since really getting involved with this and now when you have made plenty of changes?
Right. Well, so I'm a vegetarian now, but I think that's a healthier way to eat anyway, so I don't miss eating meat. I haven't flown since 2012, which is probably the hardest thing. So I've had to kind of shift expectations both with my extended family and also with my work. So it took me about 3 years to go from flying like a typical academic flies to not flying at all. So that's a little different. We hike more. We take more vacations locally. You know, in California, there's lots of options for being out in nature as opposed to flying to a far-flung destination for a vacation. And other than that, life is actually pretty normal. I'm driving an electric car these days, which is sort of a big change. I was driving on waste vegetable oil before, which doesn't add to climate change, but it does add to air pollution. And as someone who rides a bike, I really don't like it when a diesel truck passes me and I have to breathe in that bad air. So I'm also for clean air. So burning fossil fuels is causing climate change and it's causing all kinds of other health issues.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's not just climate change. A lot of the environment issues come hand in hand with some other problems, whether that be health or pollution or generally making life worse for many people. And finally, one thing that I just wanted to mention is one of the things I really enjoy about your book is that you clearly communicate the issue whilst not shying away from the science. What's the key message that you'd like people to know about what you call climate breakdown?
That it's absolutely here. It's a real thing. Sometimes when it's a beautiful day, it can feel like it's far away and it's a problem just for the future. But it's here now. It's as urgent as you think. And if you don't think it's urgent, it's more urgent than you think. We need to globally transition away from fossil fuels. We have to be halfway there by 2030 and we've got to be all the way there by 2050. And that's a huge job. So we got to get started now. We can't wait another year.
DW.